Hi, how's it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode. It's been a while since we last spoke, and today's topic is going to be about finding accommodation in Vietnam. And the question that I want to put out there is it easy or difficult to find accommodation in Vietnam? All right, so the short answer is that it is very easy, in fact, but it also depends on the quality of the accommodation, and there are many variables of why it's easy. And I'm going to go through some examples for you guys today and also talk about the possible hindrance for finding an apartment and accommodation here, and some steps that you could take to find accommodation as easy as possible. And I am located in Ho Chi Minh City, aka Saigon. So this is where I know about the market. So I don't know much about the market in, for example, Hanoi or Da Nang or any other city. But I'm sure it's, in general, pretty similar, you know, except that maybe the prices are a little bit higher here in Ho Chi Minh City. And before we jump further into today's episode, I also want to welcome you guys over to YouTube. I have a channel there called Vietnam Introduced, so it's the same name as the podcast. And over there, I upload the episode of the podcast, but I also insert some footage, pictures, and stuff like that, so you can more easily follow what I'm saying. So, for example, today I'm going to give examples of some apartments with pictures and prices and stuff like that, so you can see what a real life apartment looks like in Ho Chi Minh City. There are many websites where you can find apartments for rent, and you don't need to speak Vietnamese or be able to read and write Vietnamese to find apartments, because you can just Google apartments for rent in Ho Chi Minh City or whatever city you're located in, and you will find, you know, agencies that are willing to help you to find accommodation. But if you do read Vietnamese, I would suggest that you head over to a website called Chợ Nhà Tốt. Chợ Nhà Tốt. Chợ is market. Nhà is home or house. Tốt is good, right? So that website is pretty good, actually, and I've used it myself, because on that website you just find a wide range of different kind of accommodations. You have everything from student dorm rooms with bunk beds up to luxury apartments and villas. And the good thing with this website is that not only are the agencies operating there, but also the owners. So you can go through the middleman, the agencies, because that's how it works here. Usually there's an agency that helps you to negotiate the price with a landlord and the owner and stuff like that. But if you go through this website, you can actually directly contact the landlord in many cases, and you can just come and see the apartment and see what it looks like and negotiate the price. So what I found when I did some research as well, because you might wonder, but what's the price? What's the price range in Ho Chi Minh City for an apartment? And from what I found, the cheapest rooms can go for as low as 1.5 million per month. 1.5 million to about 2 million. So for a reference range, $100 is 2.3 mil. So it's just under $100 per month, and that's, you know, really cheap. But you will only get like a bunk bed in a student dorm room, or maybe a tiny room with shared bathroom and shared kitchen. So that's more suitable for, you know, local students or people who really cannot afford anything more. But what I found that I would call the minimum threshold for your own room or your own apartment is about 4.5 mil to 5 million. So that's about $200 approximately. $200 is almost five meals. So in that range, like $200, $220, that's what you need to pay to get at least your own room with your own shower, toilet. But in some cases, you don't have a kitchen. And I actually rented a room like this once. It was when I first came here. I rented a room for exactly five meals. And that was just a small room, tiny room with actually no windows. But I just stayed there for 1 month because I just came and I just wanted a room instead of a hotel, you know, to just put my luggage. And when I was doing all other stuff around the city in the beginning, you know. And in this house, we had three floors. And on every floor, there were two apartments or two rooms. So six in total. And on the top floor, the rooftop, there was a small kitchen. I never used it, but that's usually what it looks like. You have maybe a shared kitchen on the rooftop or somewhere else in a building which everyone can use. I mean, and again, it's suitable for low-income people or, you know, students, for example. But that's the minimum threshold, I would say, to get your own apartment. It's like 5 million. But it depends how comfortable you are, but I would say that if you pay a little bit more, like 7-8 million, you will have your own kitchen as well. You know, no worries, you know. One interesting thing I found on this website, which I've never heard about before or I've never seen before, was cheap bunk beds in luxury villas. So it's a new phenomenon from my understanding that, you know, owners of big villas in the luxury areas, they rent their house to mainly students. Like they put in 15, 20 bunk beds in total. And I saw the prices were about 1.5 million per person per month. So you can also calculate there, you know, if you have 1.5 million times, you know, for example, 15 people, it's going to be over 20 million per month. And I was a bit surprised when I saw that, because technically it's a good deal for the students, because for that price, they actually get, yeah, they don't have their own room, they have a bunk bed, but at least they live in a secure area, you know, because most of these areas where the villas are located, they have security and guards and security cameras and everything, you know. But for the same price, 1.5 million, if they rent a normal student room, they would not have that security. So I can understand from the student's perspective that it's a quite good deal. But I was surprised when I saw it, because that also made me think that the supply demand is a little bit off, because if I had a villa, I would rather rent it to, you know, a family or something like that. But that goes to show that maybe the demand is not that high, you know, to rent these villas, because obviously, why would you want to rent to 20, 15 to potentially over 20 people, young people, at once? Because obviously things are gonna break, you know, you have to have higher and better maintenance of the house, it's gonna wear down, you know. So that was very interesting that I never seen before, but I understand that it's a good deal for the students at least. And you might wonder, but what if I want to stay in a more modern apartment, a Western style apartment? Is that possible? And how much do I have to pay? And like I said, the threshold was about 200 USD for your own room. But if you want a Western style apartment, you know, because there's an abundance of them, you know, I'm going to talk about that later, but they can cost up to $2,000 to $3,000. You know, if you really want to rent a, you know, really high end ones with a pool maybe, or like a rooftop garden and stuff like that. But here in Ho Chi Minh City, most of the Western style apartments are located in either District 1, which is a city center, District 2, District 7, or Binh Thanh. So in these areas, you have many high rise buildings, apartment blocks where you can rent Western style apartments. And usually they go for, it depends which building, but I would say from my research about, you have to pay about $600 to $800 for a one bedroom apartment. If you want like pretty high standard, that's going to include furniture. They are all furnished, by the way, most of them. So you don't have to worry about buying sofas and tables and chairs and stuff like that. So that's a good thing. if the furniture is clean, by the way, that's another thing, you know. So for example, where I live, no one lived there before. So I know everything is new. So yeah, you might have to check up on that. But if you want a bigger apartment, you know, two bedroom, maybe even three bedroom, then the prices are going to be about, you know, 700 to up to 1,500, somewhere around that, you know. It all depends on the location, obviously, and the quality of the building, the quality of the apartment, the view, for example, and stuff like that. So there are many variables, but that's the rough range that you will have to pay, you know, 700 to 1,500. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I will show you some examples here that you can see on the screen of what they look like, you know what I mean? And that brings me actually to talk about a tip and a concern when you're looking for an apartment here in Vietnam. Because you might ask, but how do I go about to find an apartment, right? Because for me, like I did with a cheap apartment I told you about, I just went on the website, I just called the owner and I just showed up. I just rocked up and, you know, he didn't even know I was a foreigner when I came there, you know, and I just negotiated with him, checked the apartment, bum, it's done, you know. But usually it goes through an agency when you rent these more Western style, more expensive apartments, right? So what you would do is you contact the agency, or you can just first check out the websites. I will link some websites in the description and you can check out on the screen as well. And you check the pictures, but that's one of the problems, right? Because 99 out of 100 apartments will have inadequate amount of photos and the quality is usually really bad. Because the way it works here is that the owner themselves take pictures and send to the agency, right? And of course, not every one of us are, you know, photographers. I mean, I really don't know how to take photographs, for example, but many people don't, obviously. And many people who own the apartments, they are not very young, you know, so they obviously maybe are not used to the phone and stuff like that. So you will see that the pictures are usually very bad when you check these websites. So the issue with that is that you will have to spend excess time of checking apartments, which you maybe wouldn't need to go and check if the pictures were adequate. Because that's exactly what happened to me. Because that's why I wanted to make this episode today. Because I was checking for a new apartment not too long ago and I went through the whole process, right? And it actually happened three times that I can think of off the top of my head, where I arrived, met the agent, and we went up to the apartment. And I knew right away when I stepped in that, oh, if the pictures were good and adequate, I would not have to be here, you know. But it was like only three pictures on one, maybe four in one apartment. So I'm like taking a chance, you know, but it's wasting so much time because it's also links into what I've talked about before with the whole view of time and other people's time here. Usually from my experience, they don't really have the perspective that maybe the potential tenants don't have much time to go around the city and check apartments, you know what I mean? But that's just how it is here. So you have to just accept that and accept that you will have to spend time of physically going there and check the apartments. I mean, I'm not saying every ad has like no pictures. I mean, some of them have, but they usually don't take pictures of the view from the balcony, the actual balcony, every room, or maybe every angle of the room, you know. So that's going to be a little bit more difficult. But actually, I met one landlord and he, that was not too long ago. I came and checked the apartment, but I already seen it through the agency because the owner had over 30 pictures and they were like high quality, like professional photos. So I asked him as well. I said, hey, how come you like took so many photos? Like what went through your mind when you decided to do that? And he was pretty smart, you know. He said, oh, but I figured, you know, if I can include good photos, it's easier for you guys to see the apartment. And I paid about $100 to hire a photographer to take the photos. I'm like, wow, that's very rare, you know. But I was, yeah, that happened once, you know. So you will see that when you check out their websites that, you know, it's just a fact that you will have to take time to check apartments, right? If you're picky, I mean, if you just want a place to stay and you don't really care, then it's fine. But I really care about the layout, for example, and the view. So that's why I really have to check many apartments to find someone that actually suits my, you know, needs. Yeah, so I can tell you guys why I have this experience, you know. I can tell you guys about one experience that I had, which kind of led me to have this opinion about the service level and stuff like that, because we had some problem with the electricity in our apartment. It cut out a few times per day, but not in the entire apartment, just in the kitchen area, like the fridge, freezer. I knew that it had something to do with the electrical fuse, you know. So I knew that that fuse needed to be changed because it was only the fuse for that area that went out. And from my experience, you just change it and then it's fine. And I asked the reception downstairs to help us with that. And they sent one guy and I could tell right away that he didn't really know what he was doing. And I asked him like, are you an electrician or what are you? And he said, oh, I'm engineer. And I'm like, okay, but do you know about this? Because we need to change the fuse, you know? And he was like, oh, but we need to check everything and check every electrical socket to find where the problem is. And I'm like, but you can tell where the problem is, you know what I mean? And he said, oh, but it's okay. I will leave now. So another guy will come tomorrow. And I'm like, but we need to fix it now because the freezer and fridge is not working and all my food is going to be ruined and go to waste. So how do we solve this? And he just like, oh, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty crazy, you know. So I actually had to move everything to a friend's house not too far away. But it was, you know, a big hassle just to take everything from your freezer and fridge to move it because we couldn't get it to work. And then the day after, no one came and I reminded the people downstairs at the reception, they didn't even know about what happened. And I said, okay, can you please help me? And they sent another guy, not the same guy, and he also didn't know what he was talking about. And I'm like, this is like crazy. We pay this much and we pay management fee, but they really don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, I don't know in other apartments if it's like this, but in total, there were six people, different people who came here, and it was a time period of over 2 weeks. So we couldn't use the fridge or freezer entirely for 2 weeks. And yeah, it's just crazy when I think about it. And finally, on the last person, the sixth person, he came and he said, oh, I think we need to change the fuse. And I'm like, that's what I've been telling you guys like the whole time. I said, I can do it myself. Just give me the fuse or something, you know. And because one of the other guys, he said, and I said, why don't you just change the fuse? And he said, oh, you know, it's because it's costing money. And I'm like, yeah, but I pay to stay here. So why don't you just change it? And he said, oh, but we have procedure. We need to really go through all the sockets to find where the problem is. And I'm like, but you don't even know how to do it. So, and I can tell you that the fuse needs to be changed. And I was right because the last guy, he said, oh yeah, this needs to be changed. And I said, okay, please do it right away. And it took like two more days and finally they did it. But there's no feeling of like they don't understand that they provide bad service. I even told the reception, I said, do you think this is okay? And they just like, oh, but we tried, blah, blah, blah. It's like amazing. So that's what I said. Like, if you have stayed in Bangkok, for example, in a, you know, they have many good apartment blocks with terrific service. They just have another sense, you know. So that's a thing that I am still trying to get over, you know, the fact that the service level like doesn't exist. So you guys really need to keep that in mind. Like, it doesn't matter what you pay, you know, obviously in my experience that some people may be lucky, they stay in other apartment blocks and, you know, maybe their situation is better and they don't need to remind their maintenance staff over and over and over again when there's any problem. Maybe that's true, but that's my experience where I live and we pay quite a lot to stay here. So just keep that in mind, guys. Yeah, so that's why whenever I see a sign like luxury or anything like that related to housing, because I saw an ad on the street not too long ago and it said something like luxury apartments and, you know, for rent. And I just thought, are you sure it's luxury? Like, you know what I mean? But you can for sure get apartments that look pretty luxury. I've seen in an apartment not too far from here, like their building is really looks more luxury than the one I stay in. And they have a pool. I mean, we have pool too, but it's like, it really looks high end in a way. And the apartment inside, it looks pretty high end as well. I don't know about the service there. Maybe it's better, but I just share with you guys my experience from where I live. So you guys just keep in mind that the service level might not be on par with what you pay. All right, guys. So we've been talking about finding an apartment and just sharing some views and opinions about how it works and what I think about it. But you might wonder as well, like, but what about if you buy real estate here? And I'm going to touch upon that very quickly because I have no experience in buying real estate here and I don't know too much about the market and how it works. But based of what I've heard and what I researched and read is that there are risks. Obviously, there are risks anywhere when you buy real estate. But from what I understand, it tend to be more risky here because of the laws, etc. I mean, you as a foreigner can own an apartment and you can own like a house, but you cannot actually own the land of the house, for example. So you only own like the actual building, but not the land. So the state owns the land. So that's a little bit worrying as well because you never know what's going to happen. But an apartment, I think you actually own the apartment fully. But if you plan to stay here long term and really live here for many years, sure, why not? Maybe invest in an apartment to stay in. But to buy apartments for pure investment, I wouldn't personally do it, you know. But that's also because I don't have like excess money that I don't care about. If I had unlimited money or really like, let's say $1 million that I don't care about, maybe I would do it, but I would not invest if it's like, unless it's like a very tiny portion of your whole bank account, basically, because the risks that are there are just too high. From what I realize, how things work here is that the risk reward is not worth it because I never seen anywhere where they really sell an apartment for much higher price. It maybe goes up, but you're not going to make a lot of money doing it from what I understand. So, because for me, I mean, as a EU citizen, it's easy for me to fly to Europe and buy an apartment there. The market is much safer in Spain or, you know, Denmark, Sweden. So I would do that before I invest here, you know what I mean? But like I say, if you have the money, go for it, you know what I mean? Like, just buy it. If you don't care, just do it, you know? But there are better options for investment, no doubt. But The upside is that the country is still developing, and there is no doubt that the economical growth will continue probably over 10, maybe 15 years. So this might be a good reason that someone would take the step to actually invest, because the country, you know, they are still building many apartment blocks in the outskirts of the city here in Ho Chi Minh City, because the city is just going to expand more and more. Every year, many people are moving here from other provinces, and now it's hard to get in here from abroad, but later on, you know, it's just going to continue growing, you know. So that might be why I would invest, but that's more for a long-term solution, you know. Like, you buy an apartment now, in 10 years' time, it's probably going to be worth more, yes. But short-term flip, from my understanding, it's not very good market for that. Okay, so today we talked about finding accommodation in Vietnam, because I thought about this a few weeks ago when I was looking for an apartment, that I want to share my experience a little bit with you guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, you're welcome over to YouTube, and you can leave a comment there on the Vietnam Introduced channel. If you have any suggestions, or if you have any question at all, you know what I mean? Like, you can also head over to Instagram. I have an account there which called Vietnam Introduced as well. You can just shoot me a message with whatever question you have or anything, and I can cover that in another episode, for example, if you'd like me to talk about a specific topic or just a random question. So having that said, I would like to thank you guys for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. And I wish you all the best, and I'll see you in the next episode.